The scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. Only God gives the growth. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. But we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each builder choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you're comfortable for the reading of the gospel. The gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, the parable of the two builders. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please.
I normally do not check my text during the service, but this morning I got a text from AJ Aguales. He is asking prayers for his wife, Joy Aguales. She just had surgery last week and hoping the lab results are good. So let us lift Joy in our prayers for God's care and strength. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. This morning, I'd like to begin my sermon with a summer special joke. I hope everyone is okay with this. Anybody object? No. Okay. Shortly after getting married, a couple started arguing over who should wake up early to make the coffee. Somehow, it turned out to be a big argument. Then finally, the wife decided to take it to the highest authority. She opened her Bible, pointed to a book in the New Testament, and told her that it clearly states men are the ones supposed to make the coffee. Puzzled, her husband asked where it said that. She smiled and said, right here, Hebrews. Yep, the Bible clearly says that. He is supposed to make the coffee. Actually, I have no problem with this. For your information, I've been making coffee, morning coffee, every day for over 40 years at home. My wife is happy, I am happy, and we stay happy all the time. Making coffee might be a little thing comparing any other big and important things. But being faithful and staying faithful even in the little things, is extremely important. In his parable, Jesus also emphasizes the importance of being faithful in small things. Jesus said, "Well done, you are a good, faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." Throughout the Bible, especially in all four Gospels, Jesus calls us to be not only faithful, but also fruitful. That's why my sermon series concluding message is that when you stay faithful, and you can be fruitful as well. Finally, my 12-week sermon series, Bearing Fruit, will come to an end next Sunday. And this morning, my sermon title is Faithful and Fruitful. Let's say all together, Faithful and Fruitful. And this is part one of two of the conclusion of my sermon series. In the book, Bearing Fruit, Ministry with Real Result, written by Lovett Weems Jr. and Tom Berlin, there is a very crucial statement by Bishop Robert Schoenaes is quoted, quote, "Faithfulness and fruitfulness are not mutually exclusive," unquote. This means that you can be loyal and steady, faithful, while also producing visible result of or success, fruitful, at the same time. It's not either, but both. One does not replace or cancel out the other. After all, you can be both faithful and fruitful at the same time. Yes, you are called to be faithful and fruitful in your ministry and your leadership and further even in your own life. True faithfulness with consistent effort and trust are always expected to lead to fruitfulness with positive outcomes over time. So, effective leadership involves cultivating a strong vision, carefully measuring and stewarding ministry outcomes, and patiently trusting in God's timing for result. My sermon series, Bearing Fruit, is basically for church setting and for leadership and congregation for faithfulness and fruitfulness. That's why we must remind ourselves who we are and what we are supposed to be and to do as the church. Yes, it is extremely critical for us to remember the basics. In the book entitled Why Church Matters, Worship, Ministry, and Mission in Practice, the author Jonathan R. Wilson argues that the local church serves as a vital countercultural community that combats the fragmentation and consumerism of a modern society through communal worship and practices. By focusing on corporate worship at work, witness, and spiritual warfare, the church serves as a tangible bodily witness to God's redemptive work. That's why church matters in the past, present, and future. Moreover, according to the book Christian Basics, a primer for pilgrims, written by Dorothy and Gabriel Facker, who were both American professors of theology, and the Christian churches have four missional foundations, four missional foundations. What is the church? We have four missional foundations. First of all, telling. We preach, teach, and share God's love, peace, and justice. Doing. We serve and care not only for our congregation, but also for the local community and world mission. Being. We share life together by using the term koinonia, which means more than fellowship. And celebrate. We worship together through prayers, words, music, and sharing God's love and grace. And it is extremely important to realize that while all these four foundations are meant to be inner transformations, their external common goals are basically outreach, mission, and evangelism. Yes, we are truthfully and seriously called to bear these tangible and God-pleasing fruit. So, in order to accomplish these goals, we are mandated to be faithful and fruitful. Therefore, partially based on the last chapter of the book, Bearing Fruit, chapter 9, which is a concluding chapter, and also on this morning's scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to share with you how we can be faithful and fruitful in three essential ways. Two this morning and the last one next Sunday. Number one, by planting. Apostle Paul boldly asserts in verse 6 from 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Paul's claim here, I planted, is not about trying to get any credit for his church planting effort, but about emphasizing the importance of initiating the basic and crucial part, first step of church growth. Yes, somebody has to plant the seed first. Yes, somebody must initiate the beginning of the process if desires an abundant harvest in the end. Yes, we are called to plant the seed of the gospel, the good news, and God's love in people's hearts so that new lives in Christ can emerge through a community of faith, the body of Christ, the church. And in our modern context, as a faithful congregation, how can we plant? There could be many ways, but I'd like to share with you following three applications for now, and it is easy to remember these with A, B, C. A, ask. Ask your family member, your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, or whomever you encounter in everyday life to chat with you in mostly informal and casual settings. It can be a simple, caring, and friendly conversation that can lead you to share your joy that comes from your faith in Christ. You don't have to persuade or convince that person with your own beliefs or own expectations, but the key here is to build friendships as a caring and loving person, loving friend. Yes, being a good, caring, and thoughtful friend to everyone around you. So, whenever time comes, you may invite that person to come to the church with you, if willing and desired. Invite that person nicely and gently so that he or she could eventually affiliate and join the church. Help that person to meet his or her own spiritual needs. Simply put, invite someone to church if you truly care for that person's soul. Amazingly, when you invite someone to Christ through your church, you will experience a special joy that you cannot find anywhere else. So, after all, without this very basic initiation of asking and inviting more people, how can we be fruitful? Prophet Isaiah proclaims, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" Moreover, Apostle Paul in Romans emphasizes this by quoting this same Isaiah passage. "And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" Your faithfulness and fruitfulness begin with your simple and initial asking and inviting. Number two, belong. In other words, be rooted. Apostle Paul encourages all believers to be rooted and built up in him, be established in faith, and overflow with thanksgiving, just as you were taught. When you are deeply rooted in Christ, yes, the whole congregation becomes your spiritual family, God's family. Just as you became an active member of this church family, encourage your new friends and new members with love and care so that they can be rooted in Christ as well. Most of all, we are one in Christ. Probably someday I want to ask each and everyone, who is that person's name? So you should remember everybody's name. In Romans, Apostle Paul declares, "In Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Moreover, you must realize that your whole being belongs to God. You are not yours after all. Apostle Paul also boldly proclaims, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body." Number three, see, connect. Once you are rooted in Christ through the church, we are called to connect and to be connected not only to Christ, but also to one another. And because we are one body in Christ, Apostle Paul asserts that if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. That's why we always share our joys and concerns together during the week and during Sunday worship. The American-Canadian author Spider Robinson once said, quote, "Sharing joy makes it grow bigger. Sharing pain makes it feel smaller." Well said. It is true. And this statement applies to our church family because we all are connected to our one Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. The second way of being faithful and fruitful is by watering. If you have a flower garden, plants and trees in your front or backyard or both, I am sure your daily routine includes watering your gardens every day or on your own schedules. Watering is supremely basic and essential to growing your trees, including fruit-bearing trees, plants, and all the flowers. Watering is a must. Nobody expects their flowers, plants, and trees to grow abundantly and automatically when not watering enough. Once you have planted the seed of God's love and words through ABC, ask, belong, and connect, and now it's time for you to water your fruit-bearing trees. The seed you have just planted would not or could not grow by itself magically. You must water it, not just one time, but regularly and continually. Yes, you are to nurture the newly planted soul by watering them. And there are essentially three ways of watering that I can think of. And since we have used ABC, now we can use DEF for each way of watering process. First, D, disciple, developing. Making disciple of Christ is not only the crucial part of Jesus' great commission for all believers, but also our utmost mission of the United Methodist Church. This great commission is given by Jesus just before his ascension. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Moreover, our United Methodist Church's mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Yes, we, the church, are in more than soul-saving business. We are in this disciple-making business. Our nurturing and educational ministries are expected to spearhead our discipleship ministries. Number two, we have done D, so now E, evangelism focused. Our church's growth totally depends on how much and how intensively the congregation is evangelism focused and actually implemented. If a congregation has no desire to grow, no interest to bring new people, or no plan for outreach, obviously there would be no growth, no fruit, and eventually no future. Bearing is not only our mandate, but also our tangible outcome of ministries and missions. Every act of our church life must reflect and result our fruit to glorify God's name. Here are Apostle Paul's words on the point that we are sent to share God's words. Now, how can they call on one in whom they have never believed? How can they believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how can they hear unless someone proclaims him? And who will go to tell them unless he is sent? Number three, F, faith building. Even though some new members with their families joined the church initially through certain outreach events, fun and seasonal activities, or any other community or family occasions, we are called to help them to engage with the faith-building opportunities and beyond. After all, our congregation is a community of faith that is founded on Christ Jesus. This morning's gospel reading is about the well-known parable of the two builders told by Jesus himself. This parable compares a wise builder who builds his house on a solid rock to a foolish builder who builds on sand. When a severe storm hits, the house on the rock stands firm, while the house on the sand collapses completely. The wise builder digs deep and sets a strong foundation upon a rock. This represents who hears the teachings of Jesus and puts them into action. On the other hand, the foolish builder fails quickly and easily on top of the sand without a deep foundation. This represents a person who hears the teachings but does not obey or practice them. Through this teaching of Jesus, we are mandated to build a house on a solid rock, which symbolizes the words of Christ. Yes, we are called to build our faith on Christ, nothing else, because all other ground can be sinking. Speaking of the parable, last Sunday, as the hymn we sang, the hymn of dedication, My Hope is Built, hymn number 368 together. I know all of you know this hymn, and this hymn's refrain part goes like this. So, could you join me in singing this part only, the refrain? Give me the key. On a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Well done, everyone. Thank you, Robert. From this morning's scripture, 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul also emphasizes the importance of being a wise and faithful builder. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. But each builder chooses with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Yes, we can be faithful to the foundation, Jesus Christ, and we can be fruitful on the foundation of Jesus Christ. This morning we shared two important ways of being faithful and fruitful, planting and watering. But we must realize that these two, along with many other ways, are totally based on God's love. As I conclude my sermon this morning, let me share with you a story that I was inspired and moved by. The story is told by a country church pastor somewhere in the United States. There was a young woman who came to this church and presented her child for baptism, a child that had been born out of wedlock. In a small rural community, a woman like that can find herself shunned. The day of the baptism, the woman stood alone before the congregation, holding her child in her arms. The pastor had not recognized the awkwardness of the situation. He came to that part in the baptismal service when the questions are asked. Who stands with this child to assure the commitment and promises herewith made will be carried out? Who will be there for this child in times of need and assure that this child is brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? It was then the pastor realized that there was no godmother, no godfather, or anyone else on hand to answer the question. But amazingly, without hesitation, as though on cue, the entire congregation stood and with one voice said, "We will." My sisters and brothers in Christ, if you were one of that congregation members at the time, same situation, would you also support this child and her mother? I am confident that you would. This congregation from the story might not be a United Methodist. Maybe it was the case of someone else from different background for different occasions. Maybe it was a case of someone who was desperately in need of God's grace and a new life in Christ. It doesn't matter which denomination or which liturgy or which celebration or whoever this person was. We have everyone's back rather than anything else. At the end of the telling of the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is asking, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Yes, go and do likewise is the act of faith and love we are to implement in our faith journey together. As the story of the single mother shows, I, as your pastor, truly believe that all of you, our entire congregation, also would stand up to have her back or anyone in need of God's grace, and with one voice saying, we will. We love everyone. We welcome everyone because of God's unconditional love and amazing grace. This is the true body of Christ. This is the church you belong to. This is the church you would invite your loved ones to belong as well. Yes, faithful and fruitful. My friends in Christ, next Sunday, August 23rd, we will be finishing up the sermon series, Bearing Fruit, with part two of this morning's sermon, Faithful and Fruitful. We will be sharing the final and the third way of how to be faithful and fruitful. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.